How long has it been, Carson?
A little while.
2 years, everybody. 2 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on that's Brand's.
He's
fault.
No longer a fraud.
Yeah, I am no longer a fraud. And I'll tell you guys why when we get to the end of this.
He does at least keep up with all the aviation stuff because he works in the industry.
Yeah,
but I'm still in it. When you're not flying all the time.
Yeah, I don't have the feel for it. I'm not super current. I'll tell you guys about that in a little bit. Don't worry. It was a great feeling. Getting back in the cockpit like that was just amazing.
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and, of course, amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you're watching us on YouTube or any YouTube shorts or anything like that, you are seeing us in our brand new version of our studio.
Was this 3.0?
I guess 3.0, something, 4.0. I don't know. We've had a lot of iterations, but we're coming up on, how many years have we been doing this now? Three?
I think it's three.
We coming up on three? I don't know. It's been at least over two. So it might be a little over two.
It's
maybe two and a half or three, whatever it might be. We've been doing this a long time for now. And finally, we've got a background screen. I've got a way that we can add items to the screen and share it with you guys now. It's going to be epic. We are just getting better and better and better.
We're going to sound a little bit less crazy now when we talk about things because we can actually show you.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be fantastic. So we're going to try to do some new content on teaching as well because we are the aviation mentors. So why don't we do a little mentoring, Carson?
Yeah, we should.
We should
mentor.
Outside of that, we have something really cool to talk about, and it is Carson getting back to flying.
I did it, guys. I did it. I got back.
I don't know what he did, but it sure wasn't flying. No, I'm just kidding.
It was pretty good flying, I thought. You know, things came back really clearly. I didn't think they would.
I didn't think they would either.
So I was really surprised with myself.
No, it was a cool day. We actually tried to record this episode about a week ago, and we had our brand new camera die. So now that is solved, and we can re-record.
We're good.
Yeah, permanently, as long as I don't kick the button that's underneath my chair that turns Brandon off kicked, all the power.
He kicked the button last time, the cord straight out of the wall, and everything died to get it rebooted.
And it doesn't just take 30 seconds to reboot.
That was the first time I've been really angry at Brandon.
That's the first?
Yeah.
We went out flying just a few weeks ago. Like I was saying, we tried to record this last week, but it didn't quite work out. And how was it? What'd you think? Did you enjoy it? Tell me about it. What was the best part?
It was awesome. The best part was getting to land again. You know, I've been talking about, you know, once you crack landing and it just becomes something you understand, you get a feel for it. It's a whole new thing. I've said that forever, but coming back to it and getting that feeling back of just, there's so much confidence in it. I had Brandon land the first time coming back in and I was like, just talk everything you're doing out loud. I want to know.
He wanted to know if I knew how to land.
It was a good test to make sure we'd actually get home safely that day. And we did. We did. But Brandon talked me through the whole thing and things started coming back. At Riverside in particular, there's this building that used to be a Sears. It's this big white building and it's pretty much lined up directly with the runway. It's perfect. And I remember every time I got to the Sears building, I wanted to be at 1400 feet. But it was only when we're at 1400 feet over the Sears building, because Brandon was doing it. And I got there and that came back. I was like, oh yeah, this is right. This is what you need to be. You know, it's two white, two red, or we're on the glide path and we're doing great. And so it was little things like that, and they just started coming back straight from the time we started the plane, actually. You know, even little things that they're on the checklist, but it feels natural, like checking the brakes, you know, making sure that my brakes work and Brand's work. It was little things like that that just started to come to the surface, I guess.
Well, let's go through the whole flight, whole checklist on that, okay. If you will. So how did you feel when we first got to the airport again? I mean, we hopped in my car, we drove over to the plane. Christine, who's one of my great friends and I don't know if I'd call her an ex-student or current student. I just gave her a BFR a couple months ago. I guess you're always a student, right? Like Jason Shepard says, a good student's always learning, which is probably trademarked by him. So thank you, Jason, for allowing us to use it right now. No, he's a cool guy. But yeah, so how was that? We got on the plane and what happened before the plane, in the plane? Tell us everything, Carson.
Yeah, well, the first thing, we pulled up to the little T-hangers where the plane was parked in front of.
What kind of plane was it?
It was a Cessna 182.
Carson, how much time do you have in Cessna 182?
I had about 0.6 hours. Woo. And now I have about two or three.
I don't have the logbook.
I don't either, but that was good. So we pulled up and Brandon and I started taking the tarps off the plane. It had all these covers on it because Christine wants to keep her brand new plane very nice. And it is.
And it is beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous. And so we took those off. Brandon's like, hold on, let me go run to my car and make sure that I have something important. I was like, do you have the keys, Brandon? He's like, I think I do. It's like, let me make sure that past Brandon was a good boy and actually put the keys in his car like he was supposed to. So he ran over. He's like, I got the keys. I was like, cool. We're actually flying today. It's official.
It was a good thing.
Because the weather had just cleared up too. It was super overcast that morning.
It was. It was so not fantastic.
No, that layer burned off. And we were all good. But we got in the plane, got things started. Brandon was sweating like crazy because he's not used to that Inland Empire weather where it's hot. So he was wearing jeans and, you know, some dark colored shirt. He was sweating. I was like, let's turn the big fan on. I was like, the big fan. Yeah, the one in the front of the plane. So he got the plane started while I was going through the checklist, making sure that I was remembering what I was doing. Let him pre-flight the plane, so I definitely didn't miss anything.
By the way, I checked. Our flight was a 1.4.
It was 1.4?
Yeah, I looked at my logbook right now.
Nice.
Everything is digital now for me.
Yeah, it is. Kathleen's doing that for you.
It's already done.
Done?
Yeah, I'm missing 400 hours, I think, off of this.
Oh, just 400 hours. So it's just not, more than you have.
Yeah. It's not quite done, but it's close.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big transition.
All right, I digress.
Like usual. So we got in the plane, got started, and I was going through the checklist and just kind of pointing things out as I was going to it, like where my instruments are. That's important because every plane's a little bit different with the layout. So once I got used to it, we got on the radio, got the ATIS, got all the weather information, and I was going through my head over and over again. I was like, how do I talk on the radio? That was my biggest fear, was talking on the radio again. And the first time I talked on the radio, I kind of screwed it up, but Brandon caught me, like any good instructor would. I think I just missed our tail number entirely.
And like that. We're like holding short.
It was kind of a big mistake. Kind of it helps to identify who you are, where you're going, what you're doing. Yeah.
All the things.
Yeah. So Brandon helped me out, the basics as I was starting to get back into the left seat. And we got to the run-up area. Got the plane good to go. I just let you handle it while
I did the pre-flight on the airplane. I could do it a lot faster than he could, and I can just double check on the checklist and everything would be dialed in. So we started taxiing and we were holding short. You messed up your radio call, and I inevitably fixed it, of course, because I am who I am.
That's what you're here for.
Master flight instructor. Not really a master instructor. NAFI hasn't given me that designation yet.
It's coming.
No, I have to apply for it, and there's some things. But maybe I should. I know everybody at NAFI. Maybe I can get honorary. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't try to cheat the line.
Yeah, but then it was real. We got to the point where we started rolling and we were cleared for takeoff. So I started that, I put some power in, held the left brake a little bit to get onto the runway. To Merritt Brand's dismay, he's very no brake, only rudder when you turn. But I wasn't that confident yet. I wasn't confident in my ability. So we got to the point where...
Don't worry, Christine. I wasn't going to make him screw up your brakes. We had changing of controls down, and it included the pedals.
No, we were good about that. Like right away. That was the only thing that I was 100% confident I could do. Is
let go?
Let go. Hey, it's hard for some people. That's why you have good exchange of controls.
Yeah.
But we started rolling.
And a good karate chop with the left hand.
That's the important one. It is. If they don't let go, throat punch.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, you're always prepared for that.
Yeah.
But I let go. It's cool. Yeah. But we started rolling and everything was in the green. And then I started pulling back. We hit rotation speed. And that was when it became real. Because everything about taking off is pretty easy as long as nothing's going wrong.
Carson said that in the last time we recorded this. And he was like, yeah, taking off's the easiest thing. And I was like, Carson, taking off might not be the easiest thing for all people.
No, you have to stay on the center line, which is hard. I remember how difficult that was. Yeah, I used to get up and I would get 10 feet off the ground and I was already over the grass on the right-hand side. Yeah, it was awful.
Atrocious.
Yeah, but I kept the center line. So that came back pretty well. And then we got up and I was like, where are we going? He's like, left Crosswind. He's like, let's get out of here. And we got over to a little bit above Lake Matthews. And there were about five plus planes over there.
There was quite a few airplanes.
And I was like, oh, that's right. That's why I don't like Lake Matthews. It's awful. There's so much traffic and no one calls out where they are. Or they just call out where they were, not where they're going. It's terrible.
That's exactly what people do. They call out where they were and not where they're going, yeah. Which is atrocious. If you're a flight instructor listening to this, do yourself a favor. Do your students a favor and everybody else a favor. Call out where you're going. Say exactly where you are, what direction you're going, and what altitude you're at. Okay. That way they know exactly where you will end up in the next 10 or 30 seconds because yeah, the plane's not
flying helicopters. We move forward.
By the way, helicopters normally move forward too.
Yeah, but they have the ability to hover.
They have the ability
to stay where they are.
So. Correct.
We don't. And it seems like a lot of pilots don't understand that.
Yeah, especially new flight instructors.
Yeah.
So if you are a student listening to this, tell your flight instructor that they're messing up. And tell him Brandon said, and then show him a clip of this video.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get some hate mail.
That's fine. I'm used to it.
But besides that, we got up to about 4,500 feet. And Brandon was like, okay, my controls. He's like, let's see if we can do a stall. I was like, okay. So we did a power off stall. And I just watched him. He talked through it as he was going through. And he was like, okay, I want you to try a stall now. And I was like, dude, I'm just remembering how to do everything. You want me to do a stall? He's like, yeah. I was like, okay. So I put the plane in slow flight with his assistance. And then I started going into the stall, just like a power off stall, like normal. And I got to the point where this plane had a little bit more horsepower than I was used to. And that plane can fly slow.
Fly pretty slow.
It was like 30, 40 knots before it started to feel like it was going to break.
That's his interpretation.
Yeah, that might be exaggerated.
He may have felt that, but we were sinking and he wasn't noticing that. But I was. I was seeing the VSI go down I was seeing us sink.
It wasn't something until we finished the stall. I was like, oh, we lost like 1,500 feet.
We didn't quite lose that much. No, but dramatic. I think it was maybe 600 feet, which was quite a bit. So I made him do it again.
Yeah, he's like, without my help, do it again. So I think I did two power off stalls and two power on stalls. And I was like, okay, that feels good again. That feels normal. Then we again kept flying forward and going south a little bit. We had some extra room. I was like, oh, I'm going to put this in a spin, but I didn't tell Brandon. And I just, you know, it felt like it wasn't the right time. So maybe next time I go fly.
Not in Christine's plane. We're not doing a spin. By the way, I don't even know if you could spin that plane without pulling circuit breakers because it has an autopilot.
Oh, the autopilot kept kicking on.
Well, whenever you would try to make steep turns, the autopilot will kick on and put you back to right level, which is a very cool safety mechanism.
And I'm glad you mentioned steep turns because that was my favorite part of the whole flight. The whole flight. That was the best part. We were flying back from, where were we? Like Temecula area. So about 15 miles south of Riverside. And we're flying along the 15 freeway. And I was like, hey, my house is right over there. I was like, Brandon. I was like, we should tell my dad that we're coming and we should go over there and do a couple steep turns. He's like, okay, no problem. I'll text your dad. And I handed him my phone. He was like, oh, I don't need it. And he pulls out his phone and he looks up. He's like, what's your Carlos? And he starts typing. He's like, got it. And he showed me. He's like, he texted.
You don't think I have your father's number?
Yeah.
What if you die or something?
He texted my dad. He was like, hey. We're over you. Come outside. My dad was like, okay, I'll come outside. And Brandon took the controls and he was doing steep turns. And I was like, how? He has my dad's number? He's like, yeah. He's like, what's your mom's number?
No. I said the last four digits in my phone. I was like,
yeah, he's like,
does this sound familiar?
And I was like,
that's my mom's number.
You have my mom's number too? I was like, this dude just knows everybody.
I do. It's in case we need to surprise you with a birthday or Christmas gift or something.
Sure. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. I also want to know what to do if you end up in jail one day. I need to know all the right people.
Yeah, Brandon's always going to be my first call. He's the coordinator of that, of any situation like that.
Oh.
Yeah, I've even told Maddie. I was like, call Brandon first. Just he'll know what to do. But yeah, we were flying over and actually got a picture because the last time I was flying, I had an iPhone 12. I think that's what I just carried. So the camera wasn't as good as it is now because I found out that from about 3,500 feet, I could get a pretty good picture of my dad in the driveway. because he was in the driveway taking a picture.
It was kind of cool. Yeah, it was kind
of
cool.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I got a picture of my dad in the driveway from the plane. So that was a really cool moment.
And we were like 2,000 feet above him or something.
Yeah, too. My dad hasn't gotten to see me fly for a while. So he was really proud.
You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's a brain.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show.
How long has it been, Carson?
A little while.
2 years, everybody. 2 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. On that's Brandon's.
He's fault. No longer a fraud.
Yeah, I am no longer a fraud. And I'll tell you guys why when we get to the end of this.
He does at least keep up with all the aviation stuff because he works in the industry.
Yeah,
but I'm different still in it. When you're not flying all the time.
Yeah, I don't have the feel for it. I'm not super current. I'll tell you guys about that in a little bit. Don't worry.
Oh, they've heard it if they listen to this for a long time. A couple years.
No, not super current. Just we'll get there.
Ooh.
So we kept going, and then we got back to the airport. You know, we had to head back. Brent had a lunch. We tried to get the guy he was having lunch with to come out with us. Didn't work, but that would have got me.
It was Rich. It was Rich that I was having lunch with.
Yeah, it was Rich. I would have got like an extra 3 hours of flight time if Rich had just said yes.
I know, because we would have went down to San Diego.
We would have got San Diego. Went to Casa Machado. Oh, man, I've missed that place.
Fortunately, Rich had too many airplanes to work on, which is a good and bad problem, especially since I own part of Cavu. I was very happy.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great mechanic. I would bring anything to him, too. Oh, I just realized I've only really flown planes that Rich has worked on. I've had my life in his hands so many times.
Almost all the time.
Almost all the time.
Even post-maintenance.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, we got back to Riverside, and Brandon was on a time crunch. So we got into the pattern, and he asked for a touch and go. And I was like, oh, yes, we're going to get some time landing. You know, I wanted to land at least once, just to feel it again. So Brandon went, and he talked through the whole landing, and every part of it, just out loud. It was great. I was like, okay, things are coming back. That's making sense.
I was talking about it like it was if I was showing a student a brand new,
like a brand new student.
First time landing, right? I just talked through it. And obviously I could talk a little faster and I didn't have to explain every single step because he knew what all the steps meant.
But it was simple things. Like I'd been flying a Piper for 2 years before, I hadn't flown. And I had majority of my hours at this point in a Piper Aero. So there's no carb heat. It's a fuel pump. So I forgot little things like to pull the carb heat in a Cessna because I didn't have that. So
by the way, not all Cessnas use carb heat, just carbureted ones, which we were flying.
This one was. Yeah, good point. So it was things like pulling out the carb heat or, when to start looking down the runway and make sure you have that view instead of staring inside the cockpit. So we'd gone, we did the touch. Brandon started doing the go part. We took off again and we're a couple hundred feet above, about to turn left crosswind and Brand said, your controls. And I was like, oh, we're doing this. Like right now we're doing this. Okay. And then Brandon said, if you do two great landings without me giving you any input, I'll sign you off because we had already finished everything else required for a flight review.
I mean, we did several other things. We did ground reference maneuvers.
But that's not the exciting thing.
We even like did a tiny bit of VOR tracking, which he's not really going to use that with iPads and all that stuff anyway. Yeah, so it's not really applicable anymore.
What was it? Child of the Magenta Line?
Yeah. He knew how to use the GTN so he could type in the waypoints and get us to the place. So
Yeah, that's what the Aero had. It had the same thing. It even had that 930.
EDM 930.
Yeah. See, I even remembered it was a 930. That's crazy. Mm. But had that, and I was like, oh, that's what the Aero had. That's awesome. I love that version.
It might have been an 830.
No, it was a 930. I promise.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, though, I don't promise.
No problem. Keep on going, Carson. I'm going to look that up.
Okay. Tell me if I'm wrong. You know, he'd hand me the controls, and I started getting to the pattern altitude, and it was a 930. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a 930. Carson.
Say it. Say the words.
You were slightly right.
Oh, damn. Close enough. But then it was my time to land, and we were beam the tower, and it was a perfect pattern on the first one for me. There was no one in front of me. There was no one I had to go find. There was no extending my downwind. It was just a perfect normal pattern. And pulled carb heat, put flaps in, started descending, put some more flaps in, pulling power out, and then I was lined up with the runway. And that was the real thing for me, because that's when it started to not come back, but feel real. My knowledge was there and I felt the confidence. I pitch for airspeed, power for altitude, really just...
I was going to say, if you don't get this right, I haven't signed it yet. I might not.
Yeah. Pitch for airspeed, power for altitude. It made sense again. And I've talked about it so many times, but it really made sense. And I use the analogy a couple other times because it's just something that will not click until you've done it enough times. And that was by far the happiest moment for me, because I was like, I'm a pilot. I have that knowledge still.
It's genuine.
Pilot. That knowledge was still there. I was perfectly on the glide slope all the way until I came in. And I think that landing was pretty good, considering Brandon's had a little bit of some squeakage. It wasn't pure butter.
Oh.
Brandon's first landing, it wasn't perfect. And I knew right then, I was like, I'm going to get signed off. I was like, that's his standard right now. Mine's going to be better than that. And it was. It absolutely was.
This is debatable.
No, it's not. It made me so happy.
Sounds like we need to go for one more flight.
One more. We're going to keep flying together, dude.
No, so. One more before I sign you off.
Oh, no. Hey, no. It was perfect. but it was a great feeling. Getting back in the cockpit like that was just amazing. And, I even the second time I landed, which I was expecting it to kind of follow the student solo pattern, where your first landing's great, your second one's atrocious, and your third one's pretty in between. But I was happy that both landings were pretty good.
By the way, I had no inclination. I think that's the right word.
You can be mean. It's okay. You didn't think I would pass at all.
I wasn't planning on making that a BFR. I mean, we did about an hour and a half of ground stuff before that, the day before, and try to kind of prep and ready. And it was kind of in the back of my mind, if everything goes really, really well, I can give you a sign off. But I did not think I would.
I didn't go in at the expectation. I went in at the expectation.
We didn't even talk about it. But I just kind of knew in the back of my head, like, we talk about flying enough. It's not like he's this guy who just doesn't talk about aviation for 2 years and comes back to it, right? We talk about it every day. So there's a difference. But I didn't think that we would get it done. I figured it'd be two or three flights. Now, granted, he said he's still not comfortable going solo by himself. And I mean, honestly, he'd be just fine. But with his comfort level, he's going to keep on flying with me.
I won't fly with anyone yet. I won't fly solo yet. But I want to get to that point, which is just going to take some more confidence building.
Yeah. And that's on him. It's not, and that's on his abilities and his feeling and his mind.
Well, what do we talk about all the time? Currency versus proficiency.
Exactly.
And am I current? Yeah. I'm happy to announce I'm now super current.
No, you are not super current. You are just current.
Oh, I thought you were going to hit me for that one.
Mm. Karate chop.
No, I think super currency for me is a combination of your current and your proficient. And that's your super current. But overall, I am now current, which I'm so happy to say.
Fantastic.
I'm a current pilot.
Absolutely.
So what did you think? I mean, we went up and neither of us had the expectation, but were you surprised? Were you super impressed with my skills?
No. No, I'm just kidding. I was impressed by how much you retained. And it could have been like, that could be used as a case study on what happens if you stay within the aviation realm of things, but don't fly. And you still all know the terminology, you still talk about and know all the concepts for like years. And then you get back into it and how quickly it all comes back, which was pretty wild to me. I thought talking on the radio might be a little messy.
And it was until not really messy, but it was a little stuttery, kind of slow until like the last call when I was really in it. I was about to do my final landing and I asked for a full stop, but it sounded normal. It was just like Riverside Tower, whatever our tail number was. I'd just like to request a full stop on this one.
Yeah,
instead of Riverside Tower, this is November 732. I want to do a full stop if that's okay. that's what I was expecting. I was like, I'm just going to be so nervous. But once I started flying the plane, I felt confident, like I was a real pilot again. Even the confidence on the radios came back, which I was so happy about.
Yeah, it came back really, really quick and really nice. So I was impressed. I mean,
the podcast helps. Yeah.
Podcast does help.
We got over our public speaking fears pretty well together.
Yeah, I would fully agree. Now we can talk on stages and stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But outside of that, that was a cool experience. I was stoked we got to go, and we're going to get to make lots more memories like that soon. I actually know I'm flying a whole bunch this month. I think that we can probably go flying next month at some point. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, as long as you're not flying the Icon. Yet.
Yet. As soon as you keep on.
I'm working on it still.
Yep. Making progress. Intermittent fasting and eating the right things.
Yeah.
That's what does it. Just did it for me. Can do it for you.
I know. But it only felt right that Brandon would be the one to actually do that flight with me. And I'm glad, you know, he's the first person that really got me into flying. And I'm happy that I got to get back into flying with that same person. So, Brandon, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm happy we got to do it. Well, I hope you enjoyed our little story time of Carson getting back into aviation.
I'm back, baby.
I mean, that baby. Is like, baby. It's one of my favorite little things on Futurama. Is like awesome in my eyes. It is.
You like Futurama?
Futurama is probably my favorite.
Aside from Star Trek?
Futurama is one of my favorite TV shows for cartoons.
That makes sense.
Yeah, probably favorite cartoon. Thank you so much for listening today. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to reach out to either one of us, reach us at our emails, Brandon@aviationmentors.com, Carson@, or producer@, if you'd like to reach Mark, or you would like to be interviewed on the podcast. We're going to start having more people on the podcast coming soon. And just like we did last week, even though we had some technical difficulties, even when Carson was gone, probably because Carson was gone. Also, reach out to us on LinkedIn. I've mentioned it several times. LinkedIn is the go-to place to meet other pilots and to network in our industry. If you really want to be successful, you need to meet other pilots and other people in aviation. So please add us on LinkedIn. Just put in Aviation Mentors when you add me so I don't block you or not add you back. There's quite a few people that go on there and reach out to me. But if you are one of our listeners, I'd be glad to reach out to you. So please add us. Also, don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, share all the awesome things you do on social media, on YouTube, or wherever you are listening to this podcast on, whether it be Apple, Spotify, etc. We really appreciate it. It's a really a huge part of helping us grow the podcast and, more importantly, helping us grow the aviation community.
And as we wrap up for the day, especially now that I'm current, remember, I'm here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See ya.